Okay, I'd like to call the House Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs to order on March 31st, 2005, at 5 minutes after five. Welcome to the people who are here and the committee members. And today we have an agenda HB 208 and HB 212. Before I go into these two, but I'd just like to ask if Representative Elkin, if you have a, has the special committee met yet on this other bill we?
No, Mr. Chairman, we have to do that.
Okay.
I apologize for that.
Well, I accept your apology.
Fact.
It's been a tough week.
My good friend on your left reminded me in the hall today, I wanted to know when we were going to meet, and I had to be truthful and tell him that I had spaced it out. But he said he wasn't going to let that happen to me again.
Okay, good. You got it.
We're going to have a space for all gooey ducks in the state in that veterans home.
Yeah, out of order.
We marry them. Contingent effective dates.
Okay. Let's with that, let's go to HB 208. That's sponsored by Representative Guttenberg. Is he here today? You testify on that? I beg your pardon?
He was speaking at the Bill Egan Forum. He might have been held up for a couple minutes.
Well, do you want to speak for it, or would you rather go to the other bill first?
Definitely go ahead.
I can go ahead.
Okay, fine. Please identify yourself.
My name is Danielle Brown Farrell. I'm staff representative David Guttenberg, and thank you for this opportunity to speak on House Bill 208. House Bill 208 seeks to authorize the Alaska Military Veterans Affairs Committee to establish and maintain a state veteran cemetery in the interior. And through this, we, the Alaska Military Veterans Affairs Committee, would apply for a grant through the VA, and the grant would offer 100% for the design construction.
Excuse me, Representative, you can join us if you like.
So doing very well.
We're joined by Representative Guttenberg, a guest of our committee.
If I may. So this grant program through the VA would offer 100% of the design, construction, and operating equipment for the State Veterans Cemetery in the interior. I've been told through the VA this would be about $3.5 to $4 million for the construction of this cemetery. There's 11,164 veterans in the interior in the Fairbanks area and three adjoining.
Would you give that number again, please?
11,164. And so this number came through the Veterans Association. There's some discrepancies between the census, vital statistics, but since we're getting the grant through the Veterans Association, we thought this would be the best number to go with. So the VA's long-term goal is to provide operational veteran cemeteries throughout the nation. And in qualifying to achieve this grant, they look for 75-mile radiuses. The next closest veteran cemetery is in Anchorage, which is 350 miles away, about a 6 to 7 hour drive. Let's see, there's 40% of the families in Fairbanks have at least one veteran in their family. 16% have one female veteran in their family. So Fairbanks would definitely qualify for a grant through the VA.
Okay, thank you very much. Any questions? Representative Thomas.
Thank you. Page 2, line 23. Says the department shall establish and maintain an Alaska Veterans Cemetery in Fairbanks to serve state veterans and spouses and eligible dependents of state veterans. Why would you include spouses?
Would you speak up a little louder, please?
Oh, I asked on page 2, lines 23 and 24, it says to serve state veterans and spouses and eligible dependents. Why would you want to put spouses and dependents in a veterans cemetery?
I think this is how they define.
Reverend Guttenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this, my understanding, this is how they define who's eligible. we're not the ones deciding who's eligible. Even if we were, the Veterans Authority would be the ones deciding. But I think this is their definition.
Yeah.
Theirs being the state?
Federally. To receive burial, they receive a plot allowance of $300, veterans. And within that, the spouses are eligible to be buried in the national cemeteries as well as the state cemeteries.
If I may, that is correct. Both my parents, the service member and the non-service member, are in Riverside National Cemetery, and grandparents also, same case.
I didn't know that.
I guess, Mr. Chair, I'm thinking more like the Arlington and the one in Sitka where it's veterans only, you know.
I don't know.
Every day.
I don't know about Arlington. That may be subjugated. That's such a special cemetery. I don't know. I know in Riverside National Cemetery, spouses are in fact there.
And that, excuse me, Mr. Chair, but is that true in Arlington too?
It is correct. The crypts are actually two persons stacked on top of each other. And so they do it. Usually there's 600 crypts per acre. And they do it stacked.
Mr. Chair, in rebuttal, so I guess that must be true in Sitka also.
I guess.
Correct.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, Representative Elkin, I think you're next.
I think we're all veterans here, so we're all supporting this bill. But I do have a problem with that. It says may.
And, where are you?
Well, I can't. I'm not quite sure where it is in the bill. Up to 100 that talks about that. What distribution will be back, the grant program administered by the Department of Veterans Affairs, the state affairs, the federal amount contribution to the state may be up to 100%, not shall. And that bothers me. May, does it, you know, could it be 50, could it be 10, could it be 2? I mean, may gives a lot of latitude there, and I have a problem with that latitude.
And you want
to define more. You know, may up to, I mean, that's great if they do 100%, but what if they only do 20 or 10, you know?
Or one.
Yeah.
Okay. Either one of you?
Sure.
I'd like to respond to that.
I'll respond. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't think anything that we would do in this legislature would determine from the federal aspect what they will do. I mean, we could decide. We wouldn't do it until the funds were there, but we would apply for any loan and every, you know, when it was the appropriate time to do the construction, and hopefully we would be eligible for 100% of what it would cost. But we don't know how many others in that given year would be eligible also in dividing up the money. So it would be our intent to, you know, we will do this, and hopefully, you know, it would be 100%.
Okay.
But until we get to that point and we're ready, I mean, you know, we've had discussions because we're not delineating a certain plot of land either because we don't know where it's going to be. That's still an ongoing thing. It may be donated by somebody to one of the vet associations who's a nonprofit, and we get it for free, and then we just have construction. We won't, some future time, we won't have to purchase a plot. Somebody would actually give us the acreage, which would be delightful.
Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you. I want one more thing.
Yes, please.
One thing I noticed that there are no letters of support in here from any of the veterans organizations in this state, and I don't know if they haven't been informed about this legislation, but I think it would be helpful for this legislation to get some notification out to the different veterans organizations in the state and get some letters of support.
If I may, we have, through the chair.
Yes, please.
If I may. We have individuals from the Alaska Advisory Committee, the Alaska Native Veterans Association, the American Legion, the VFW, Elks Club, DAV, Military Order of Purple Hearts, and the Fairbanks Veterans Center, all ready with support and ability to testify.
Are these some of the people that are listed on my call sheet here? I have six people listed. Joyce Brownlow, Joyce Ruther, Benno Cleveland, Jimmy LaCroix, Dana Notrieb, and Lynn Hackney. Would that be any of those people?
It would.
And I would request, if you could put this into the packet, it would be helpful so we could read this before we come to the committee.
Thank you, Mr.
Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you for the promotion.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah. and I don't know if you're going to get to the testimony, but I would like to say, before, in 1974, I joined the Laborers Union. And the guy that signed me up was a big old ex-Marine with a big fat cigar in his mouth all the time, just with a gravelly voice, and what do you want, kid? And he was a big part of my life, you know, being dispatched to the union and coming back in.
From the LSD.
Well, I don't know what he was before. Anyway, he passed away a few years ago, and Joyce Rothler, who's on that list, is his wife. And she came to me with this request that Rick was trying to get this done over a number of years, and I'm not sure if she knew that I knew Rick all those years ago, but I certainly was honored to do that, and just leave it at that when she comes on.
Fine. And I'd also like to point out that Representative Dawson joined us in the committee, one of our committee members, mm-hmm. and Representative McGuire has duty in another office here, and she'll be in as soon as she can. Who's next? Representative Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Define Alaska veteran. Is that somebody born, raised here, lived here for 20 years, or if I came up from Ahart, Georgia 2 weeks ago and I die here, I'm an Alaskan veteran?
If I may, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Mr. Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you. And Danielle might have a better definition, but we didn't seek to define anything here new or put any restrictions on it. Eligibility is based upon federal requirements, and I think an Alaska veteran could simply be somebody that came up for a vacation and happened to die here, and said, you know, said that was his last wish, and I think that person would be eligible.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Grunberg.
I'm sorry, I haven't had not had the chance to look at this until now, but in response to what I thought Representative Elkins said, in my packet we have a resolution number 2005-15 from the Fairbanks North Star Borough supporting the cemetery.
It's laying on the desk out here.
And we also have a hand-printed letter from a person named Corky. Corky Corcoran supporting it. So I do see some documentation. But I do have a question. I have another question, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Representative Grunberg.
And one thing that does concern me about the bill, I support the bill. I think it's important to have a veterans cemetery up in the central part of the state. On page 2, lines 2 and 3, no, that's you, Dr. Harmon. I have your bill. Page here, you can look at it. It substitutes that the money in this separate account, from the license plates, which I understand is a total of less than $1,000, it's just a tiny amount, is now supposed to go for the support of programs benefiting Alaska veterans. And that's not going to be the case. It will only go to the Veterans Cemetery Fund. And that could divert the $800 from other programs to the cemetery fund. And I would like to respectfully suggest that instead of deleting the language for the support of programs benefiting Alaska veterans, we would say, and to the Alaska Veterans Cemetery Fund. So it could go to both.
Would that be acceptable to you?
That would be very acceptable, yes.
Okay, would you care to make that in form of an amendment?
I do. Could that be amendment number one, Mr. Chair?
Okay, can you tell me again?
Yes, Nancy.
One moment, please.
It will say on lines 1, 2, and 3 of the bill.
Page 2.
Yes, page 2, lines 1, 2, and 3. Okay. Be appropriated by the legislature, and then we keep the current language for the support of programs benefiting Alaska veterans and to the Alaska Veterans Cemetery Fund created under AS 3705590. That way it would go to both places.
Yes, you could simply say after 599.
Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you, Ms. Simply say and, just by adding the word and there.
Sure. sure we could do that. Sure, why don't we do that? Both, you know, the bill drafters can do it either way. But I want to make it very clear conceptually that it can go to both.
Any objection?
If I may.
Yes, please.
To date, this particular aspect we're discussing right now was created last year with SB 146. And to date, the money's, granted it's $800, has just gone into the pot for general funds. So if no particular Veterans Association requests this money, it goes into the general fund to be spent.
To the chair. No, that's not the way it works. Constitutionally, Danielle, we can't dedicate funds. It goes into the general fund, and then it's appropriated by the legislature. This is a separate accounting concept, and we do this with all kinds of things. But this, my amendment will make it clear that legally it can go to either of those places, and the ultimate destination would be where the appropriation says it goes.
Okay.
We can't do it, and we couldn't circumscribe a future legislator in any event. Okay. But it has to go to the general fund, and this is the way they all do.
You have no objection? Member one adopted. Any?
I have a question.
Representative Dawson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was told that there was a letter that was sent from one of the commanding officers at Fort Richardson that states that they support this, and I haven't been able to see a copy of that letter, and I totally support the idea and the concept. I just want to make sure that my constituents at Fort Rich and Elmendorf are taken care of and would like to see that, if it's possible.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Does the letter exist?
If I may, through the chair, Representative Dahlstrom, I have correspondence with the director of the National Cemeteries in the state. However, because it's military branch, it has to go through the hierarchies to be okayed. So I have the letter, but I can't pass it out, basically, until it goes through the proper channels within the military.
Are you at, Mr. Chair, are you at liberty to just give me a very brief basic synopsis that of it? Yes, they do support this, and there is plenty of room on the existing cemeteries on Fort Rich to take care of the folks in that area, or whatever you're comfortable with doing, because I don't want you to break any rules.
Through the chair, Representative Dahlstrom, the correspondence that I have with the director states that Fort Richardson capacity will be full in 2025. The National Cemetery in Sitka will be full in 2012. There's no conflict between the two vicinities, being Anchorage or Fairbanks. I was told that when an individual passes on, if they're living in a given city for 35, 40 years, they still might go back to their hometown. So it's really hard to predict where a person will be buried. And so the feelings that I related from our conversations is that there's no concern.
Great. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. Anybody out in the audience wish to testify?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Grunberg.
On that point, would it be appropriate for us now to do anything to seek the expansion of enough land in the other two cemeteries, particularly Fort Rich? I don't know how much land they have at Sitka, but they certainly have surrounding land at Fort Rich, I would think.
I have a question. That's federal land, is it not?
Yeah.
What can we do in the state with federal land?
Good question.
Take it.
I would like to. anything else? If not, I have several people online here. I'd like to call in. Thank you very much for your testimony. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity.
And will you be available for future questions here?
I will.
Thank you. Do we have a Joyce Brownlow online in Fairbanks?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, Ms. Brownlow, will you please identify yourself and tell us whom you represent?
My name is Joyce Brownlow, and I represent the Fairbanks Elks Lodge.
Okay, Fairbanks Elks Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, go ahead.
Okay, I'm here to testify in support of House Bill 208. There are over 11,000 veterans living in the Fairbanks North Star Borough, with gathered statistics stating that 40% of families in the Fairbanks area have at least one veteran in their household. I feel that this bill underlines and signifies dramatically the importance that we as citizens of this Golden Heart City and Borough should be addressing. I attended a meeting yesterday where Billy Blanchard explained the formation of Project Partnership. This partnership is outlined, provides for an opportunity for area businesses and organizations to support our military members and their families during the upcoming Army deployment. This partnership will not only show appreciation to our area soldiers defending our freedoms, but will bring the community together to help the family members left behind. What a concept, and I feel strongly that this project will be fully embraced by our wonderful communities. Now then, what about the soldiers who are now called veterans, the ones who have served and are residing with our community? Therefore, 11,000 former soldiers deserve our attention, but more importantly, deserve a respectful and honorable cemetery. Many members of my family are buried in veteran cemeteries, notably Willamette National and Roseburg Veterans in Oregon. A visit each year to them brings a renewed conviction that patriotism is a very complicated feeling, but a necessary ingredient in the treatment of our honored veterans. Creation of the cemetery will be financed by a grant, and the amount of about $80,000 will be borne by the state in the bill. Another question to be answered is this Birch Hill Cemetery and the 60 spaces that are available for veteran burial. The Veterans Administration has estimated 112 deaths annually in our area, so Birch Hill could reach its capacity within a year's period. As Alaskans have more residents in the military on a per capita basis than any other state in the nation, and Fairbanks North Star Borough has over 11,000 veterans, the interior would greatly benefit with a veteran cemetery. It would give comfort and solace to friends and families of our veterans and establish a well-maintained cemetery that would provide a final resting place for our revered veterans. This is an emotional issue, but should be bipartisan for the benefit of our veterans, and therefore I urge passage of House Bill 208 for the convenience of our veterans and their families. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions for the witness? Okay. I may have one question here. Can you give us a copy, please, of your testimony that you read so well to us? The LIO, Legislative Information Office in your area, should be able to help you with that.
Yes.
Really would appreciate that.
Thank you.
Okay, next is Joyce Rothler. And I neglected to mention at the beginning, I'd like to limit everybody to approximately 3 minutes. Joyce Rothler, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Please identify yourself.
I will speak on behalf of AMVETS of the Unit 11, American Legion Auxiliary, the VFW 3629 Auxiliary, and a few other organizations that I wear a hat for.
I have one question. Was the description of your husband accurate here from Representative
Gunn? Certainly was.
Okay. I just wanted to clear that up. And,
yes, sir.
I'm also an AMVET and member of the VFW.
Thank you.
Continue.
In 1999, my husband and I were at Birch Hill Cemetery visiting the first Mrs. Rothler's grave when a mortician walked up to us and asked if we were veterans. We said yes, and he asked if we would assist in laying a veteran to rest, that he was a little uncomfortable with being there alone with the two grave diggers to lay a veteran to his final rest. We obviously complied with his request. Later in 1999, we visited the National Cemetery in Fort Richardson and found a beautiful area. But on the way home, we discussed the fact that this is an extremely long ride for someone who is going to lay a loved one to rest or to go to visit them, mandating for most of us who have reached any age at all, at least a 2 to 3 day trip. That not only involves money, but time. Sometimes energy that senior citizens don't have. The importance of the family being at an internment of a loved one is real. And the importance of the grieving and healing process being complete with being able to visit that site is real. After September 11, 2001, another factor came into play, and that was a problem with Fort Richardson National Cemetery being on the base. For anyone who does not have military identification cards or isn't a civil servant, it can be a very difficult thing just to get on the base, requiring a lot of communication with the base and real earnest timing just to get through the gate. There are a lot of homeless veterans, some by choice, some otherwise. There are a lot of veterans who live in the bush by choice, but they are still veterans, and they still have the same right that they were given when they signed their enlistment papers to be laid to rest in a veteran's cemetery, to be remembered with honor and dignity for their service. This is something that those of us who signed a contract and served were guaranteed. And yet, we're looking at extreme limitations on where we can be put. Graves are running out, and for some of us, time is running out. Sometimes it runs out far too soon. We cannot turn our back on our veterans. We create more veterans every day. We create more families of veterans every day. Wives want to be with their spouses when they're buried, when they're laid to rest. This is not uncommon. And yet, where will they be put? For those who are cremated, it is a relief to have some place to go and lay a tribute on Memorial Day or their birthday or an anniversary or a special day. And it's important to the healing process and to the grieving process. We need to take care of the living veteran, Jess. But did you ever wonder what's going to happen to you when you pass? You have to ask this question. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Very, very good testimony. I believe Representative Dawson may have had a comment or a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just comment on your statement about getting onto the base. I do sympathize and understand, since 9/11, the security measures to get onto Fort Richardson are greatly upped from what they were previously, and I believe we all know that that's necessary and why that it happens. But I have had experience with some folks in this particular situation and others where the folks there at the front gate have been very gracious in working with people, and as long as they have the proper ID forms and getting them through. And I will offer too, as representing the people on that base, that anyone in the state, you know, that has any type of problem there, if they want to call me, I'd be happy to work with them and help them through that process.
Thank you very much. And it is difficult. I happen to have base sticker, base ID, but even so, if I were in the grieving process especially, it could be very burdensome to have to go through that. Thank you very much. Any questions for the witness? Thank you again. Benno Cleveland, are you there? Yes, sir. Please welcome, and please identify yourself and tell us whom you represent.
My name is Benno Harris, Plone, Cleveland. I'm here on behalf of the Alaska Native Veterans Association, which I am currently the president of that nonprofit organization, and I'm also here as the commander for the Military Order of Purple Hearts, Chapter 675.
Thank you for your service, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you for yours as well, sir. We got word about this House bill just recently. And one of the things is you hear the testimony and everything as to the veterans here in this community, how many veterans we have. Both the Alaska Native Veterans Association and the Military Order of Purple Hearts, Chapter 675, and all the other veterans organizations, we are all going to come together and we're going to stand united to support this House Bill number 208. The simple fact is that we have two cemeteries here in this community. we have a certain amount of area for our veterans, which is not near enough space for the veterans here in this community. The other thing is that when we talk about the veterans and everything else, I think Joyce kind of hit on that as well. You know, Fairbanks, we have a lot of our community members here. They're in the National Guards, they're in reserves, they are in the active military. A lot of our members, our family members and community members, are also overseas. We're not just talking about the 11,000 that you have on paper. There's more than 11,000 members in the North Star Bureau. We have a lot of veterans that do not register, and they are registered, but they don't go to any of the veterans organizations or to the VA centers. But the other thing that we're talking about here is the veterans that are coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan. We have a lot of members that are overseas right now. And one of the things is we are concerned about what's going to happen to our veterans in the future when it's time for them to go to their final rest. We'd like to see, have them have a respectful and a good cemetery to go to. And every one of our members, like, you know, the Alaska Native Veterans Association, statewide, we have around 700 members. Locally, we have about 350 members. Of course, Chapter 675 of the Military Order of Purple Hearts, we have about 40 active members here in the community with that chapter. We probably got maybe 200 members in the community that have received Purple Hearts, that have received wounds in combat. Statewide, we probably have maybe 200 members. And as I said before, there are other members here from different organizations. We all, and all our members, we strongly support this House bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Before I forget, I'd appreciate if you call my office later, first part of next week or later today. I have some pending legislation we have drafted right now that pertains to Purple Heart recipients. So I would appreciate that. Any questions for Mr. Cleveland? Any questions? Thank you very much, sir, for your service, and I appreciate it. Jimmy LaCroix, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, sir. Please state your name and whom you represent.
I'm Jimmy LaCroix. I'm the commander of American Legion Post 11 here in Fairbanks.
Okay. Thank you for your service, sir. Please tell us about this, your thoughts on this bill.
Okay. I don't have a prepared speech, and I have several hard acts to follow here. Let me just give you some background. Since Danielle and I have been communicating about this bill, I brought it up before the Post, the general membership of the Post, and they unanimously support HB 208. I brought it up at Western District. We just had a meeting down in close to Anchorage, between Anchorage and Eagle River, Western District of the American Legion. And I was on the resolutions committee, and we're going to get a resolution out to support HB 208. Also, I talked to the department commander and resolutions committee. We're going to have the American Legion Department of Alaska Convention in Kodiak April, just with about 3 weeks from now. And I'm going to be on the resolution committee there, and I can assure you that we will have a resolution from the Department of Alaska supporting HB 208.
Thank you very much. Any questions for the witness? Thank you, sir. Again, thank you for your service. Dana Knox-Strieb there?
Yes, this is Dana Knox-Strieb. I represent the Marine Corps League Detachment 674 and I guess VFW 3629. I'm a life member of both. Everybody I've talked to in both the Marine Corps League and the VFWs is in favor of House Bill 208. I think it's a good thing. As far as Fort Richardson's concerned, anybody that's buried down there, well, then their family has to drive 700 miles or better round trip, which is kind of an insane thought. If you go to any cemetery here in the interior, the ones that we have, you'll find that the people that they've left behind are there almost daily, sometimes two or three times a week. Well, that, you know, you'd just have to move to Anchorage to be able to do that. That's about all I got, I guess.
Well, thank you very much. You said Marine Corps Detachment 6. Are you active duty reserve or what?
No, the detachment, I'm the Marine Corps League is former Marines, former active Marines. After you get out of the service or while you're in the service, you can join a league. And what we do is we work with helping Marines that need any kind of help or whatever else we can do for the community.
Thank you very much. I understand what the Marine, all the Marine. Is that correct?
85. About 85 members locally.
Yes. Glenn Hackney, are you there?
Yes. Not a can of beans,
too. Punch it.
It's on.
Yeah, this is Glenn Hackney. I'm speaking strictly for myself, but looking around the table, I identify with this group of individuals that's gathered here today. I want to just associate my few words with what Joyce Brownlow has very eloquently put forth here today. That figure of 11,000 veterans in the Fairbanks area has just got to be grossly understated. There's a lot more than that. Now, as far as this bill, you know, I want to encourage you to pass this thing through the system. You've got an opportunity to do something here that's totally nonpartisan. I'd like to point out to you, ladies and gentlemen, that the blood that was spilled for this country was not spilled by pure Republicans, pure Democrats. It was spilled by citizens of this country. And I think it's about time that those citizens were recognized here in Alaska. I think this is a good step. It's relatively revenue neutral, which I know is attractive to you guys. And I, again, would just urge you to pass it through the system and send it to the governor. Thank you.
I thank you very much, sir. Are you a veteran yourself, sir?
No, I'm not. Yes, you are.
Yeah, and I have a question from Resident Guttenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to point out to this body that Mr. Hackney is a former member of the former senator and a veteran of this body, the other side, as a longtime honorable and respected Republican in the community and continues to serve many functions. And thank you, Glenn, for speaking up.
And sometimes I think sometimes we have a combat zone down down here, too. But I would agree that, you know, when you're in war, somebody shooting at you, they don't ask you Republican or Democrat or anything else. You're just serving your country.
I just want to say thank you. You beat me to the punch in making that announcement because I was just waiting to do that.
That was Representative Elkin. Any questions for the witness there? Thank you, sir. Anybody else online that would like to testify? Anybody in the audience would like to testify? If not, I'll close public testimony. Any discussion from the committee?
I'd like to make a motion.
Representative Dawson.
Chair.
Excuse me.
Yep. What I'd like to do is make a simple amendment, if it's possible, on page 2, line 23, where it says the department shall establish and maintain an Alaska Veterans Cemetery in Fairbanks or anywhere else that qualifies. I'm a Vietnam veteran also, and we have thousands of veterans in Southeast, and someday they may want to locate one in their community.
I make that amendment?
Yeah.
Would you object for purpose of discussion?
Sure.
Just if I may make a technical suggestion.
Don't object to your own here. Somebody else.
Sure. I have that no objection for purpose of discussion.
I think if I may say on line 23, if we should strike the word Ann, and cemetery should be cemeteries in Fairbanks and elsewhere.
That's good.
In Alaska. Let's make sure it's in Alaska.
Right.
So the line would read, Mr. Chair, if it's okay, if I can make this as an amendment to the amendment.
Sure.
Establish and maintain Alaska veterans cemeteries in Fairbanks and elsewhere in Alaska to serve state.
Okay. Do you have any objection to that, Representative?
Nope.
I'll remove my objection.
Okay. And any further discussion on the amendment? Any objection? If not, adopted. Okay. Do we have a motion for the bill itself? Representative Dawson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move House Bill 208 with the two conceptual amendments, existing physical note and individual recommendation.
Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you, everybody who testified in this bill. Okay. We now go to...
Thank you for making the bill stronger.
What's that now?
Thank you for making the bill stronger.
Okay, great.
You're
and we'd now like to hear HB 212. And
they're going to be working on that.
Okay.
I leave the committee, Mr. Chair.
You may leave the committee. Not just temporarily. Do we have anybody online?
Thank you.
Okay. Oh, him again?
Hey, what do you mean? I've never been here. You have to move the CS.
Hey, Representative Thomas.
Yep, you want to move the CS first, Mr. Chair?
Oh, yes. We have the CS here.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the CS for House Bill 212, version F, please.
Any objection? If not, we'll be working off the CS.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, thank you for taking the time to listen to HB 212. It's the Senior Citizen Tax Exemption Bill. Current law mandates that senior citizens and disabled veterans are exempt from the first $150,000 of their assessed property value. If you're in a community of 12 mills, that's about $1,800 a year. Revenues going to the communities have been suspended for several years, and it's cost a lot of the communities. What's that?
Yes, please.
Okay, costs a lot of the communities a lot of money. In Haynes, for example, since they quit paying for the unfunded mandate, as I call it, has been over $1 million, and it's put an economic stress on several of the communities by not having the money given to them. And so what this bill attempts to do, or will try to do, is to give the senior citizen tax exemption jurisdiction to local municipalities to let them manage it the way they want. And you'll notice also that the effective date is 2008, giving them also about 2 years to adapt to it as to how they want to phase it out, keep it, or whatever they wish to do. But it's been becoming a major problem for the municipalities. And again, one of the language that the CS does is gives them the authority that they may include eligibility based on financial resources, and it's a tool that was not required, but it was asked by the state to give them in case give them that option in local municipalities. Otherwise, they may not have that ability. We also put in the bill the description of disabled military veterans was not in this section of the statutes. I have the list of all the other. It's one of the, before I get done on there, the state revenue loss equates to overall about 6% average statewide, but like in Wrangell, it's 15% of their tax base. Ketchikan is 13% of the tax base, 9% in the Mat-Su and Petersburg, and 10% of the tax base in Haynes, which is, it gets pretty high there. And so I'm not saying that the seniors will lose their exemption and like the fear of people. It's the idea is to give the local municipality the options to phase out the plan if they wish. And I want to reiterate the year that 2 years from now is 2008, and I figure that I've got probably 8 years before I'm eligible, so I want to make sure that I'm not planning to be on the senior citizen exemption unless they have it available. And I think it's just trying to give the local municipalities another tool to try to bail themselves out and still take care of the elders and seniors.
And the question, Representative Thomas. Representative Dawson.
Thank you. I think it's a good bill. I'm I guess it's more of a legal question. Does the word veteran need to be in the title? Did you consider that? And I don't know if it...
I don't know. Hey, we never... You can always amend it, I guess, to make sure, but I don't know.
No, because it also, Mr. Chair,
yes.
I think it also...
Grunberg.
Does this not also affect the senior citizen property tax exemption now?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Right, that's the purpose of it, yeah. So
I don't think veterans should be in particular.
Okay.
Good question. Can we amend the title here?
We could, but I think the title may be okay. I'd hate to do it without really knowing.
Okay. Where does it go from this committee?
It goes from this committee to...
State Affairs and Finance.
State Affairs and... No, wait a minute. It goes from... to... No, it's the Community and Regional Affairs, it says.
The other one.
The Finance Committee.
Unless it's changed here.
No, it's just CNRA.
Community and Regional Affairs is the next committee. What are your thoughts on that, Representative Thomas? What should we do?
I'd like you to move it, but if you have concern, we can research the title.
Whoa.
Catch you can. We could research the title and change it. I'm the chairman of CNRA, so if we can...
That
we
helps.
Yes, it helps. So we can research it and see if we can make the title change there.
So you're saying you might be able to make that in the following committee?
Yes, sir.
That'd be fine with me, Mr. Chair. And, you know, let's just double check so we're doing exactly what our intention is.
Right, we have staff right here to do that. She'll do that as soon as we leave her.
I think it's good, so.
Okay.
Well, do you have a question, Representative Elkin?
No, I want to discuss the bill, but I
won't. Yes, please.
I have a real problem with this, and I'll tell you why. This was a mandate by this body, combined bodies of the state of Illinois. They mandated this program. And for us to opt out and put the responsibilities on the municipalities is wrong. And we should try to do what's right. If we want to do away with this program, then let's stand up and do away with it, or let's help fund it. But for us to dump that on the municipalities is wrong. And I will not support this legislation, even though I've served on a municipal government. I understand everything Bill's saying and sympathize with that position. But I don't think it's fair to local governments. And we're crapping, excuse my words, choice of words there, but we're not doing very well by municipalities anyway. And this is just another burden that we're putting on them, I think. Thank you.
Representative Grunberg.
With due respect to Representative Thomas, whom I have a lot of personal respect and I like him a lot, I'm going to have to, I think, agree with Representative Elkins. We took away the longevity bonus. And we have thrown that burden now for many years since I first sat in this body in 84 and before. We've never funded it, and it has been thrown on the municipalities. We took away revenue sharing and municipal assistance from the municipalities. And I know, Representative Elkins, you have another bill in to fund those programs, do you not? I haven't seen that bill. I would like to, and I guess that's probably in your committee, is it not, Representative Thomas? Maybe we can look at funding this program at the state level. I don't know. That way it would take it it would not throw the burden on the municipality, because I think of that letter from the folks in Ruby and the people in your district, Representative Thomas, who can't pay insurance, can't pay their fuel. And I would like to see us maybe at least through this get them some money to do it. And I don't know what your feeling is, but
thank you. Is this like committee, or is it still as presenting the bill? So anyway,
well, you're both.
Both, okay. For your benefit, I'm doing this because the municipalities, several of them, had asked for it. Southeast Conference has asked for some help, and yes, we looked at eliminating it. We tried to phase it out, but we were told we couldn't phase it out over time because of what is called inequity or the legal protection for the. And so the best way we can do is transfer the authority to the local municipalities. And if I may, Mr. Chair, my major concern is that I'm one of the baby boomers that we continually see talk about, and there's about 25 or 30% of us are going to hit that tax base at the same time. Now, if my little community has 10% problem, when we get there, it's going to be more like 25 or 30, and then it strangles them even more so, and that's going to be statewide. It's not just going to be in one municipality. And this yes, you might think that it's wrong. I served 4 years on the Borough Assembly before being here, and we wished we had the tool to at least phase it out and hold public hearings and public meetings at the local level. We removed the vote, brought it to the vote of the municipalities, either the assembly members or council members, so that they can come up with a draft plan and then take it to the voters. We had an argument about mandatory election, and I said, again, another $35,000 to $50,000, maybe $100,000, depending what municipality you're at, for a special election was a little too much. So if they can do it by ordinance versus, you know, an election. So it's, you know, it's not, if you've been listening to level of several people, and I think AML is, at least they were the other day, in support, at least a tool to help them with this. They all recognize that the big blossoming problem is going to come here in about 5 years or so. And I think that if, and you do have a means in here. So if a person cannot afford to pay this, there is a means of which people can still get a relief from the municipality.
Reverend Dolphin, any comment?
No,
I beg your pardon. Representing Alderman's first.
That's Thank right. you, Mr. Chairman. I do want to comment because it was already brought up, but about the legislation that I have introduced and what the legislation does is reimburse the municipalities up to 25%. It carries about a $29 million physical note. There are other legislation out there to reimburse municipalities far more than that. But I think when you're looking at seniors in general, you need to look at them from a different aspect than this bill does. And definitely when they did away with the longevity bonus, they didn't look at them as an economic engine. And just in my community alone, that economic engine was $120,000 a month. So that's over $3 million a year. And that dollar is estimated to turn 3 to 5 times in the community. And these tax-exempt dollars turn in those communities 3 to 5 times because the seniors have that money to spend. And I think sometimes we're short-sighted and not looking at the seniors as an economic engine and the value they are to the communities in the state of Alaska. And that's, the you know, I have to oppose this.
Did Reverend Dalton have a comment? No.
I personally would like to not move the bill today and do I'm not comfortable. Right. I need to do a little bit more research on it. And
if I may comment, Mr. Chair,
yes.
This does not eliminate the senior citizen tax exemption tomorrow or immediately. You have local option, and I don't believe that grandson's going to sit there and throw mama out with the bathwater, you know, type thing. And I think that you want to look at sometime either phasing it in at the local level where, you know, and do it based on needs. And it's not just getting rid of it, Representative Elkins, but I don't think that, you know, that we have, at least major part of my generation has had the benefit of an inflation, I'm going to call it, and has built up enough money so that when you get to this age, you should be able to pay your property tax and not be a burden on, you know, they call it burden on society because, you know, we can pay and some people can afford to pay. I have, you know, people have told me that they're on the exemption and they got a lot more money than any, probably total or all of us in here, and they get an exemption. I'm not trying to cripple anybody. I'm just trying to give a tool back to the municipalities, and it may not phase in for over 6 years. You know, it give people time to realize that if you can afford to do it, you will be paying your taxes. If you can't, you'll have a means in which you can get relief. But I am not, definitely not cutting the legs off of senior citizens at all.
Well, speaking of my own perspective, and I appreciate the remarks on the longevity bonus, which I would suspect, let me continue. I suspect that my position is pretty well known on the longevity bonus. It seems to me that I'm both a senior and a veteran. I'm a disabled veteran, but it's a very, very small percentage, so I wouldn't qualify for this. But I'd hate to have that dependent on where you happen to live. If I live in Haines and I get it, then I move to some other place and I don't get it, and another place and I do get it, you know, I'm a veteran of the United States of America, which includes all of Alaska, and I'm a senior wherever I move. Even if I try to find the fountain of youth in Florida, I'm still going to be a senior. And so I don't want to be dependent on where I live. And I, I'm, I get very nervous about anything that might upset with all the other things we have, loss of longevity bonus and other things going on. It's very, very tough out there. And I think we need to do something about helping the municipality, some form of municipal sharing. I had a proposal, which I put in the local newspaper. We might use some of the Amaretta Hess funds to help fund municipal government so that they could help lower property taxes and maintain things such as this. And there are other ideas out there. We had the POMV debate last year. Part of that, as I recall, was it 5%, I think, was going to be going to the local municipalities. And so these things are out there. We may or may not do these things in the future. But I would hate to make this exemption depending upon where I happen to live in the state. And so I understand the goodwill of this, and I want to support municipality, but I would like to probably table it for now and at least look at it more, and so we can kind of put some more thought into this. Would that be agreeable to you?
Yeah, that's fine. And let me make one comment in regards to municipal dividends or community dividends. I have a bill, which is House Bill 144. We had a hearing in state affairs, and I think we're going to bring it up again next week and make a change and then probably move it out. And it does the same thing. It gives $150 million of the from earnings reserve by a vote of the people of the state of Alaska to distribute money back to the municipalities.
And it's likely that I will support that.
Right, and likely. But you know, but these are several steps of trying to get the communities well. You know, I sit on CNRA and listen to the plight of the communities, and so I'm just trying to respond to what I'm hearing about lack of funding, lack of money, you know, everything. And so we're trying to put back some tools to give it back to them. And I don't believe, again, that they would dump on the seniors, because as I approached that age, well, I told my wife who was doing this, she said, well, I said, what are you going to do? I said, get a smaller house, you know. I mean, I don't need one so my kids keep coming back all the time, you know. Ability to get a smaller
house. I understand. Representative Elkin.
Mr. Chairman, I thank you. I just want to say that, Bill, if I implied that you were trying to sabotage citizens, that was not my intent. I'm passionate about the issue, as you well know, but you're too good a friend. I wouldn't do that.
Right.
Thank you.
I think we all support, you know, more help to the municipalities.
Right.
I mean, we all support veterans, and I think we all support seniors. We kind of come at this thing from different directions. Representative Grunberg.
Yeah, I think that we are all seeing, as we look in this mirror, we not only see your face, we see our own faces too, and the other pieces of legislation that we have out there. And some of you I have talked about one of my bills, and I haven't talked to all of you about it. It's House Bill 52 that required the state to adopt a fiscal plan. And I had meant to talk to both of you about this, and I just haven't yet, and ask you to co-sponsor. This should be, and I appreciate your co-sponsorship of that. This all should be looked at as part of the fiscal plan. This is, yeah, in the grand scheme of things, not all that much money, but it's essential for the municipalities. It's essential for the seniors and the smaller group of disabled vets. But this is just bringing this whole issue to a forefront, that if you can't consider one little issue alone, you have to look at the whole, because it may be different than the sum of the parts.
Okay. And I did not mean to give short shrift to, we have Steve Van Sant online with the State Assessor's Office, and it looks like we're probably going to table this bill, but Mr. Van Sant, would you like to make any comments? We have all the testimony on board today.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Steve Van Sant, State Assessor here in Anchorage, and I'm only online for informational purposes, sir.
Any questions of Mr. Van Sant? If not, thank you for hanging on and listening to all this. Okay. Help me here. Do we need a motion to table, or can I just do it on the authority of the chair?
Just do that.
Okay. I'm going to table HB 212 for further discussion and study. Do we have anything else to come before the committee at this time?
Motion to kill him.
No, you just not taking
this one. But we're not moving the bill.
That's all you
have.
I'm
not sure they don't want them.
So if there's no other business come before the committee, thank you for your attendance today, and proceed. We'll probably be having a state affairs meeting, not this next week, but, excuse me, veterans affairs meeting, not this next week, but the week after. We have a bill that may be right across the floor tomorrow. It will probably come before this committee.
May I speak about
yes,
that?
Yes, you may.
Okay. This is the license plate bill. It will, it would eliminate the necessity of paying $30 a year for holders of the Purple Heart. They still have to pay their registration fee, but not the $30. I understand you're putting it also in their Congressional Medal of Honor.
Congressional Medal of Honor, and also, this is in the legal department right now, and also current prisoners of war.
Sure.
And spouses of current prisoners of war.
Fine. But we can, and we've checked with the clerk, it can be calendared subject to referral to this committee, because I understand it's going to be ready to be read across tomorrow.
We're trying to put tomorrow morning.
And then we can, please, we can have the hearing next week and deal with the bill.
If that's possible, we will. Okay. Thank you very much, everybody. Meeting adjourned.